This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake, joined as always by Gabby Urrutia. I want to say here on the front end, we are recording this on my spring break, enjoying a vacation up in the panhandle, but still wanted to provide a podcast this week. So we're going to bring a mailbag style podcast here. Gabby and I, and we asked the Through the Smoke message board community to shoot some questions at us, and we picked out a handful that we think touch on some interesting topics here, kind of as we share our thoughts coming out of these first week of spring football. So, Gabby, let's just dive into it. The first question here comes from Canes CEO7. Is there a specific position group that are championship level yet in terms of starters and depth? And Gabby, you know, I think we can just go down the line, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say on the front end, you know, I think in general, you know, I think a lot of these position groups are getting close. I think, you know, if we're talking about the team, we're one cycle away from some position groups, and we're two cycles away probably from other position groups. Now, I think we can have a conversation about whether or not some of these groups are there right now. And let's get into that now. And let's just start with quarterback. And, you know, for me, I think the potential is there. I really do like the depth. I think, you know, obviously Cam Ward is quarterback one. He's made a very strong first impression here during the first week of spring football, getting a lot of rave reviews from people that got to see a full practice in week one on Cam Ward. I will say, though, look, I think the talent's there. I think he has a chance to be an NFL draft pick this time next year. But I am a little hesitant from going all in because, you know, you look at last year at Washington State, they went 5-7 and the Pac-12 was good. Pac-12 was a better conference than the ACC last year, but going 5-7 kind of is underwhelming to me. I am wondering why maybe his play didn't translate to more wins. Now, obviously football's a team sport and there's a lot more going on than just the quarterback position, but that is one area that I think has me paused from, you know, pronouncing this group as championship caliber starter and depth. I do like the depth. I think Miami has three, you know, number two quarterbacks, if that makes sense. What would maybe give me pause with the depth is, in my opinion, Gabby, I think ideally you have a succession plan at the quarterback position where you know, obviously, okay, this guy is the starter this year. And if everything goes right, this guy is clearly the number two guy. He's talented. He's just young and waiting his turn. I don't know if Miami clearly has that situation. You know, I think Rhys Poffenbarger is a good, you know, bridge backup quarterback type of guy. Do you want him to be a starter? I guess we'll find out as we learn more about him. And Jakari and Emery, you know, they've started games as younger quarterbacks. Are they able to take the next step and be productive starters at the Power Four level? So I think quarterback to me is close, but I don't know if I'm willing to say championship caliber yet. Where do you stand on it?
Yeah, I guess it just, it, to me, it's just, what do we define as championship caliber? Are we talking about like conference championship? Are we talking national championship? So I think if we're talking national championship, I mean, of course, I don't think that we can say that Miami's quite there, just because, you know, a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. Like, I think we believe in Cam Ward and what he can be yes. at Miami. And, you know, the fact that I think he can elevate this team from a 7-win team to a potential 10-win team. Like, I think he has all of that. Yes. Again, I like the room, just the way it's built up. The depth of it, I think, is solid. If we're talking about championship, like, is this room good enough to lead? Is this room good enough to lead Miami to an ACC title? I would say yes. Is this a team that I think that this is good enough. Like, I think they can do it. Exactly. Of course, you know, potentially national championship is totally different. I mean, I think, you know, they're Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks that don't, you know, potentially take their team to, you know, even that level. So I think, of course, I think that's where the team sport aspect of it obviously comes in. But I think Cam Ward's talented enough where, you know, is he a potential top 10 quarterback in college football? Like, I think that he potentially can be. I think he potentially is right now, again, just on paper. So I think that's why maybe, again, I would probably lean closer to, yeah, Cam Ward is good enough to help Miami win a meaningful postseason game. And I guess that's why I would probably lean closer to, yeah, I think the quarterback room is close to at least conference championship level, national championship level. I think it's as close as it's been in a long time. But I think, yeah, obviously still room to grow and a lot of questions that we need to answer. But, you know, from the depth standpoint, I mean, I think this is the deepest the room has been in a long time. So feel mm-hmm. good about just what would happen if God, you know, God forbid something happened with Cam Ward that he wasn't able to go. I think I'd feel good about just what's there, not having to turn to a true freshman like the way that Miami had to over the past two seasons. So I think it's getting deeper. I think it's getting it's more competitive on the back end as far as just what that backup quarterback situation looks like, what that even the third string quarterback situation looks like with, you know, Jakari, Emery Williams, and Rhys Poffenbarger, you know, able to, you know, still competing for all of those types of things. So yeah, you know, I say that to say I feel like the quarterback situation's in a much better place than it's been here in quite some time.
Yeah, it's in a good spot. We're talking at a high, high standard. So we're talking national championship, I think. And so, you know, I think Cam Ward could be that. I just think the consistency needs to be there and the production needs to turn into wins. And maybe that happens at Miami, where hopefully he's surrounded by more talented teammates than he was at Washington State. Running back, you know, to me, Gabby, the more I look at this group, and look, part of it is due to bad luck with injuries. But I am kind of underwhelmed by this group, especially when considering, you know, how much Mario Cristobal values running the football with success. To me, this running back position group still needs a class or two. Number one, I like Mark Fletcher, but he is coming off a foot injury, and let's see how that recovery goes. I think, you know, it's too early to say what the timetable on that recovery could be. But foot injuries in general can get dicey. So let's hope for the best there. Trevante Citizen, I think, was ultra talented coming in as well. He's dealt with a couple of knee injuries that have derailed his trajectory. So that's another, you know, that's another instance of bad luck. And then I look at the rest of the room, and it's a lot of running backs. It's too many running backs, in my opinion, that are under 200 pounds and not overly dynamic. You got Henry Parrish, you got AJ Allen, you got Chris Johnson, who brings dynamic speed, but still kind of has to put it all together still to even earn some sort of role. Chris Wheatley Humphrey, a young freshman, still going to pack on some weight. So we'll see there. But to me, Gabby, when I think of running back depth, you know, in terms of championship caliber, all you got to do is look at Georgia. And Georgia's running back room in general is not going to be filled with guys that are under 200 pounds. So to me, when I look at this group, I think it's fine, but I don't think it's necessarily national championship caliber, you know, from a starter level or from a depth level. And I am a Mark Fletcher fan. But to me, you know, look, we know what dynamic running backs look like at Miami, and Mark Fletcher's a good back. But is he that national championship caliber running back? I think that's still to be determined, especially for a guy that's going to be coming off a foot injury. To me, Gabby, well, I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree totally. I think, you know, I feel like we felt like running back has been not good enough here for a bit now. You know, I think last year, I feel like we were saying kind of the same things last year. Time last year, just about the running back room, just not feeling like it was deep enough, not feeling like it was quite what it needed to look like. Still feel that way. Mark Fletcher just kind of coming off that injury, and we love Mark Fletcher. And I think we were excited about getting Mark Fletcher into the room, like understanding he was going to arrive in the summer, not totally knowing what that early impact would look like. He obviously had a great freshman year, especially as he kind of settled in, and, you know, kind of same situation now with a guy like Jordan Lyle, who's coming in the summer. But I think when you're still having those conversations of, oh, let's see what this true freshman coming in looks like, maybe he could provide, like, I think that just kind of tells you this, like, what it is, right? I mean, to me, it's just simple. No, it's not championship level. The room has bodies, which it didn't, I guess, a couple years ago when Miami had to go at the buzzer and go get Lucius Stanley from, what is it, Tusculum or something like that, a D2 school. I mean, we're not there anymore, thankfully, but I still don't think that this room has that big time running back yet. You know, again, with the understanding Mark Fletcher is obviously a good, solid young back, but banged up, has a history kind of, you know, kind of going back to high school of being banged up, especially with some of those lower extremity issues. He's going to take a lot of hits as a bigger body guy. So he's going to have to withstand a lot of that. So I'm just curious about what his recovery looks like. I expect him to obviously be healthy at some point. But, you know, just the longevity of what that looks like over the course of a season as he continues to kind of be a feature back now, especially, you know, as a sophomore, as he gets, you know, more acclimated into the offense with the expectations and the role just being larger. Mark Fletcher is going to have to take another beating, you know, with the way that Miami kind of wants to pound the ball. And again, I don't feel great enough about the depth of the room behind him to feel like, you know, this room is championship caliber enough. And I like, you know, a lot of the same things. I like some of the pieces. I think Jordan Lyle, someone who's going to be able to help out potentially as a true freshman. But I just don't think that it's how you want it quite yet. I don't think it's where you want it to be quite yet. And I think that this is a big recruiting class for running back. I think Miami needs to hit on a couple of, again, you talk about those 200-pound type of guys, and that's exactly what Miami's going after is – you know, I think they're truly approaching one running back who's under 200 pounds, and that's Gerard Pringle. Everyone else that they're going after is in that 5'11", 6', 6'1", 200-plus pound range. So I think Miami knows they need to get bigger at running back, and I think that's what they're aiming to do.
And if we're talking about portal for the spring, you know, I think who knows if this type of back will enter the portal, but if there's someone with somewhat proven production that's, you know, north of 200 pounds and can help be that type of guy, I would expect Miami to explore that situation. Let's go to wide receiver. You know, to me, I think this room has improved in terms of, you know, landing guys with more speed and suddenness to it. But it's still a year away to me. I will say, if we're separating outside receiver and slot receiver, I think slot receivers on point. I think Xavier Restrepo, Ray Joseph, Robbie Washington is kind of what you want it to look like. You know, we all know what Xavier can bring to the position as a guy that just gets the job done. I've been very impressed by Ray Joseph here, the little bit we get to watch in practice with his speed. I think he's ready to take that next step. So I do like where slot is at. Outside receiver, you know, I think it's fine. I think it's just young. And so, you know, maybe one more year away from being where it really needs to be, assuming guys like JoJo Trader and Nykar continue to take that next step over the next year. Jacoby George is fine. We know that he can have his explosive games. I think Isaiah Horton deserves a lot of credit for the way he's worked to improve his body type and his speed. But to me, you know, if we're talking about a championship level wide receiver room, it's getting there. It's just not quite there yet. Still needs one more year of high level talent acquisition.
I definitely agree. You know, when we're talking about specific position groups that are championship level, you know, one of like the very specific rooms that I kind of highlighted was the slot receiver. And like, you know, to echo your points, you know, Xavier Streppo, Ray Joseph, and Robbie Washington, I think is a big time slot receiver room. I think each of those guys, I mean, Xavier Streppo seems like, you know, and we've talked about this already. It seems like he could potentially even take another level, another step in his production, in his development here in his last college football season, which would be remarkable because he just had a really good season. And then Ray Joseph, I think, looks extremely fast. And Robbie Washington, I think things are slowly kind of coming together for him. And I think if he's your number three slot, that's a really good thing to me. You know, again, don't want to harp on it too much, but I would definitely not push back on what you said about outside wide receiver. You know, you're eager about what Isaiah Horton could potentially be. We know what Jacoby George can be, at least from a production standpoint. And then, you know, you're excited about a couple of those young guys and JoJo Trader and Nykar, and see what, again, another high level recruiting class at the wide receiver position, especially on the outside, looks like. And I think, you know, again, we're close. We're getting there. It's better. But again, still another position that maybe I'd go get a portal guy and continue to stack talent at the high school level.
If Miami does, it depends on who it is, but if Miami does get that type of portal guy, a proven commodity on the outside, I think that room might be there. And if they can get that type of guy, I think there's a chance this is the best Miami offense we've seen, you know, since the Hurricanes joined the ACC. I think there's real potential for Miami to score north of 35 points per game if they can go out and land that type of guy. Tight end. To me, Gabby, I do think this is a championship level position group if Elijah Arroyo can continue to stay healthy. The way he's moving around now, you know, he looks like the guy that we expected to see the last two seasons. Looks confident, looks fluid, looks explosive. I think he's ready to be one of the better tight ends in the ACC this year. Then you have Riley Williams backing him up. He's definitely gotten bigger, faster, stronger this year. He's a guy that can also help you on the line of scrimmage with his blocking. And then, you know, behind him, you got Cam McCormick and Elijah Lofton, who can be valuable role players in their different ways. McCormick brings a blocking element. Lofton, kind of that H-back, athletic H-back that you have to be aware of if you're a defensive player, because he has the athleticism to make plays in the passing game. So to me, I like where I feel like this is a championship level tight end group if Elijah Arroyo continues to stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think the hope is that if Elijah Arroyo is healthy, then he could have a Will Mallory-esque type of year where, not that he leads the team in receivings, but like, you know, I think the hope would be that a guy like Elijah Arroyo maybe sits somewhere in that 500 yard range in this offense, that they mm-hmm. want to get him rolling. They think he's talented enough to be a high level tight end, a potential all conference tight end, a guy who could potentially play on Sundays. And then you kind of go through the depth that you mentioned, right? Like, I think Riley Williams is as good of a tight end too, as you're going to find, you know, especially in the ACC. But, and then you go even deeper with, you know, Cam McCormick, an older guy who could help you on the line of scrimmage, and Elijah Lofton, another, you know, again, you know, versatile H-back type of guy who could definitely run and definitely has some power at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, again, with the ability to move and create separation on his routes. And, you know, so I think I like Miami's tight end room a lot. I do think it's a championship caliber tight end room. I'm not super well versed with the tight end rooms nationally, but you know,
that's,
I think
there's not many, you know,
right?
I mean?
I feel like this is I think if I'm kind of drawing it up and I'm putting together a tight end room, I think what Miami's kind of formulated there at the position from a talent standpoint, you know, again, assuming everyone is healthy, I think it's
it's
very
enough.
Very good. Yeah, I think it's a very good tight end room, and I know that to me, it seems like they are eager to get the tight ends more involved, and it seems like that's going to be a focus of just trying to implement the position more, that these guys are healthy and just really talented.
offensive line, I feel like this group is on the cusp of being a championship caliber unit. I'm not willing to go there quite yet. I'm not sure this group will be as good as last year's offensive line, but it's close. And, you know, look, I'll admit from a depth perspective, I'm a little weary of the backup center situation if I'm nitpicking things. But you return key guys like Jalen Rivers, who is solid as a left tackle. I don't know if he's a prototypical left tackle. You know, I think on the next level, he's an interior guy. But he can get the job done at tackle in college. Francis Maui-Noah, you could probably say the same about him. He can get the job done at right tackle at the college level. And then Inez Cooper, guy that's, you know, on a upward trajectory with his development. Zach Carpenter, big physical center. And then that left guard spot is open. May the best man win. So I like where this group is. You know, I still think Miami probably has the best offensive line on paper in the ACC. You know, are they that Georgia caliber offensive line? You know, we've seen Michigan recently have some really good offensive lines that will dominate opponents. I don't know if this Miami offensive line is quite there yet. You know, talking about Oregon, what Mario left behind at Oregon, are they there quite yet? I think they're very good. I still think they're maybe a year away from being elite.
Yeah, for me, I look at like the offensive tackle situation. I think like the office, if we were just specifying, you know, at offensive tackle between Jalen Rivers and Francis Maui-Noah, I would probably say yes. But the line as a whole, I think just the hole at left guard, you know, just not having a clear answer there. Miami kind of tried to go into the portal to get a guy, and if they got who they right. wanted, you know, maybe I would say yes. You know, Zach Carpenter and the pads aren't on yet, so it's hard to judge him, and I'm not gonna judge him off him of an off of a center not in pads. Inez right. Cooper feel great about him, but I just think that there's still a little. I just think there's still right now just not too many question marks, but there's still you know, some important question marks regarding that left guard opening. You know, regarding just who Zach Carpenter is, I think we still don't really know exactly what Zach Carpenter is quite yet. Is Miami open to going into the portal and finding it? Like, I don't think that Miami's opposed to exploring the portal. Like, I think that they've recently explored the portal and see like what's kind of available out there. I think that I think the fact that they looked at Nate Kolepo and wanted, I think it shows that they feel like if they feel like a name comes up that they like, maybe they would pursue that. I think that there's still maybe a few questions that Miami needs to answer before I feel like, you know, we could say that this is a championship level offensive line. And again, you know, definitely agree that, you know, maybe not quite as good as last year's offensive line. I think there was just more stability. Like we knew which five it was going to be, you know, at this time last year with them going out and getting Javion Cohen and going out and getting Matt Lee, with Inez Cooper kind of emerging and, you know, knowing Francis Maui-Noah, we took the starting job, like a spring practice in and never looked back. So I think there's just a few too many questions at this point. So I don't know if we can call it championship caliber, championship level right now.
Still good. Still one of the strengths of the team. But last year's offensive line featured five guys that will get drafted probably in the NFL draft. I don't know if this year's offensive line, all five starters will get drafted. We'll see. It's to be determined. I don't have to tell Through the Smoke listeners that the Miami Hurricanes football fan base and community is the best in the country. When we opened up sponsorship opportunities here on the podcast, we were flooded with small business owners that wanted to support what we do here on Through the Smoke, but one person particularly stood out. Joe Hernandez reached out and wanted to lock in a sponsorship opportunity, but he didn't want to promote a business. He simply wanted to direct listeners to go support the Canes Connection. Canes Connection is the official name, image, and likeness partner of Miami Hurricanes Athletics. Canes Connection relies on the strength of the Canes family to connect fans, alumni, and corporate sponsors with Hurricane athletes seeking opportunities to further their professional and personal growth. Go to canesconnection.com today and become a member for as little as $25 a month, or make a one-time contribution. Make a direct impact on the lives of Miami Hurricanes athletes by giving to Canes Connection today.
The holiday season is upon us, and Midway Sports is here to take care of all of your sporting good needs. Check out their wide range of selections for all your golf, pickleball, football, basketball, and baseball needs, with a variety of top-of-the-line necessities and accessories to help you look and perform your best on the field of play. All of that located just a mile south of the University of Miami campus. Midway Sports is also there for all of your team uniform needs, whether that be your kids' Little League team or your adult softball team. Tell them Gabby Rudia with Through the Smoke sent you, and they will take 30% off the price of the cost of your uniform order.
D-line, I like the edge guys. I think, you know, it's very close. I like the power edge players that Miami has on its roster with Ruben Bain, Akeem Mezador. You know, I just think that the speed rush element could be slightly improved. I think Nigel Kelly has a chance, and Elijah Alston can bring that, I think, in some spots, the Marshall transfer. And then you got some young guys that probably are this, like a Marquise Lightfoot. He's just young, needs to put on weight. Jaden Wayne, solid frame, long, lengthy guy. I like the edge guys. Defensive tackle is solid to me. But, you know, if we're being honest, Miami's defensive tackles don't look like Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State from a body type perspective. Miami needs to stack players that look like Justin Scott, who five-star defensive tackle that signed with Miami this recruiting cycle. Those programs I named earlier, they land a Justin Scott every year. And Miami needs to join that party for me to call Miami's defensive line championship caliber. But I do think it's a good defensive line.
Yeah, same. I mean, again, I think defensive ends potentially is there between, you know, Ruben Bain, Akeem Mezador, you know, Jaden Wayne, Elijah Alston, Nigel Lee Kelly. Like, I think, again, that's a really, really good edge room. But, you know, again, I've been pretty open about the fact that I feel like, you know, especially the interior defensive line could still use some more juice. I think that they're getting closer to where they want to be. I think they got, you know, two solid, you know, transfer portal additions between Marley Cook and CJ Clark. I think those guys are going to be able to help. But I don't know if I would call it a championship caliber, a championship level defensive line room right now. But I think it's continuing to improve. And there's such a strong emphasis on that position that, you know, I think Miami's going to eventually get there. They're adding another big body type in Artavius Jones. You know, this summer, right. let's see what he looks like, you know, after some seasoning, again, not for 2024, but just maybe down the line to see what he potentially looks like. So Miami's starting to get kind of the beef, the mass that they want on the interior line. But I think that takes a couple cycles to develop. Josh Horton is a guy. I don't know if you saw him after one of these practices, David, but just looks like he's getting closer to being ready. He's not fully healthy, but body type wise, you know, it's kind of what you want it to look like. So I think Miami's doing a good job of stacking those body types, but it takes a minute to get those guys going, which is why it's so important to keep cycling them up so you're not missing them because they're not fully where you want them to be at the moment. So I think Miami's getting closer, and I think in a couple years we'll be talking about that part as a strength, but I think right now it's just not quite there yet, but I still think it's a really good defensive line.
Linebacker, I think Kiko Maui-Noah can be a championship-level middle linebacker at the college level. What is he at the NFL? I don't know, but I think at college he's definitely good enough. I think the rest of the group is kind of to be determined, either because a guy like a Wesley Bissaint who has the talent needs to put it all together and not have some of the quiet games he'll have at times. And then there's a lot of talented young players. So I like the young depth. Is that young depth ready to play right away this year? I don't know. We'll find out how it looks in the spring, I guess. But I like their top linebacker, Kiko Maui-Noa, and I like the young players they have in there. To me, this is an interesting group where, you know, last year they added KJ Cloyd in the summer, and I think the fan base kind of pushed back on why would Miami need to do that. And that move, I think, did help solidify that group. I think you can make the case that Miami would benefit from adding a KJ Cloyd type again here in 2024.
Yeah, I definitely would not push back on that. And Again, yeah, I think going into the spring, we talked about just how it's this is such a big spring for Wesley Bissain with some of those young guys kind of coming up behind him. But you mentioned how two of the four, highly rotated linebackers are no longer with the team, with Corey Flagg, at Missouri now in the transfer portal, KJ Cloyd have, moving on now that he's out of eligibility. With just Kiko and Wesley Bissain kind of back, how ready are those young guys to kind of fill in those roles where, someone's going to have to kind of rotate in. I think they're still going to try to find linebackers who can kind of play. It's just a matter of are some of those young guys ready? Is Marcellus Pulliam ready? Is Popo Aguirre ready? And I'm not quite sure. Maybe they are. I just don't think we know yet. And that's why, again, I think that's a situation Miami's watching closely too. Like, do they need to kind of go back into the transfer portal and maybe get an older veteran guy or maybe even a potential starter type to kind of, again, I think this is just too important of a season. And I don't think Miami's going to leave it up to chance. Wesley Bissain could obviously take it and run with it. And Miami would love that. But I still think that it's a room that, could potentially use a veteran body, especially, in that Will kind of off ball linebacker in that spot. I think. I don't. I'm not sure that's a championship level room. I definitely think Kiko Maunoa is a big time college middle linebacker, but the room as an entire as a whole,
If you
encouraging.
lose Kiko, I get worried. Like
Yeah,
if he gets
extremely worried.
if
Like
he
very
gets
yeah,
hurt.
very very worried. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think. I think Kiko's really good, but I mean, he's definitely the heart and soul of that room, and I think he individually is a championship caliber middle linebacker, but the rest of the guys, not quite sure. So again, I think that that's a potential, post spring transfer portal, position to watch.
Yeah, I think the young guys are just young. I think they're all kind of a year away, is how I view it. Maybe one of them is ready to play 300 snaps this season or so. But I think the majority of that room is still a year away, which is fine. They're only in their second year this year. And then you got some talented freshmen as well to develop. Corner, to me, Gabby, I'm going to be harsh. I like two of the guys at cornerback right now. I feel like Daryl Porter, Mr. Consistent, you know what you're getting. Damari Brown, even though he's hurt right now, not really participating in spring, I feel like we got a nice look at him last fall and like what he can bring to the position group. So I like those two. Outside of that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make of Jadis Richard. I need to see more of him, I guess. You know, he has a chance because of his physical traits, but I just don't know if he can play corner. To me, maybe he's more of a safety, but that's just me. So let's just say best case scenario, that's three corners that Miami has that you can play. I don't think that's nearly enough. I think you need five. That number needs to be five, not three. To me, this is a big concern for me if we're talking about Miami trying to even win an ACC championship. I don't know, number one, if they have enough talent. I think it's there, maybe the talent's good enough, maybe, I guess. But the depth to me, if we're talking about navigating a season and the inevitable injuries that pop up, I'm kind of concerned about corner. And I will pound the table that Miami needs to go add at least one corner in the spring portal window this offseason.
I think it's a must that Miami goes and gets a corner. I mean, I feel very similar to you with just feeling great about Damari. I mean, feel good about Damari, and you feel good about Daryl Porter. Jadis is still. I think they're excited about him. I know Lance Guidry mentioned something about Chevis Jackson was a big corner, so kind of knows how to work with those types of guys. Like, I'm hoping that Chevis Jackson, the developer, potentially gets Jadis Richard right. By the time fall comes around, but that's just being hopeful, and hopeful isn't the best place to be when you're
Yeah.
Building a college. You can't, like, again, I think you need something concrete. I think you need something more definite. And even if it's not maybe a high level starter, I'm not saying like even go find the best cornerback in the transfer portal. If you want to do that, I'd be all for it. But I just think Miami needs more quality depth. I
A
think it's
Jaden Davis type.
literally a Jaden Davis type would be perfect. I think it's unfortunate too that we haven't been able to see Robert Stafford this spring. I mean, I'm kind of curious where he's at in his development. Another guy from that, again, two highly ranked, freshmen between Damari Brown and Robert Stafford. I don't know where Robert Stafford is. I don't know if he's someone that could potentially be a fourth corner. We haven't seen him very much at all. I'm not sure what to make of that situation. So again, it's not something you can kind of bank on to me. I think it's super, super important that Miami goes out and gets a corner. I'm not sure how they didn't already. I don't know how they didn't add a corner to this team pre-spring. Obviously, they tried with guys like, you know, the Trey Amos who went to Ole Miss, and, you know, they tried obviously to kick the tires on the Jabbar Muhammad who went to Oregon out of Washington, and, you know, potentially a couple other guys that maybe I'm just not remembering right now. But it's super important that Miami goes out and gets another corner in the transfer portal. I think it's one of the most essential things that they need to do after spring football wraps up.
Safety to me is also kind of to be determined. To me, you know, from what we saw the first week, you have Jaden Harris and Savion Riley running with the first team. And, you know, just the little bit that we saw, you know, it was fine, but it wasn't, to me, it wasn't quite good enough. Now they can improve, and they can also look better when the pads come on. I think that's particularly going to be the case with Savion. I think when the pads come on, we might see some of the best that he can bring to the field. You also have Zaquan Patterson, who I think is physically talented, but still kind of learning what to do at the college level. So I don't know if he's going to be quite ready to go as a true freshman. I'm not comfortable with simply relying on those three. And I'll be honest too, Gabby. Like, I think, you know, they have Mish Powell playing nickel primarily, the Washington transfer. I'd like to see what he looks like at a free safety spot, just to see how it looks. And as I said earlier, I'd like to see what Jadis Richard looks like there too. To me, you know, I see a guy like a Jacoby Matthews out there in the portal.
Yeah.
And if I'm Miami, I make a push for a guy like that. I don't know, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think it's important that Miami, again, Jacoby Matthews just sitting there, a guy out of Louisiana with Lance Guidry. I know Miami has ties to, you know, that high school that he played at. You know, again, I know Miami knows, you know, some of the people around Jacoby Matthews, and obviously the transfer portal window isn't open or anything like that. But if I'm Miami and I'm watching some of these spring practices, I'm definitely, you know, potentially approaching a guy like Jacoby Matthews or just someone, you know, similar, you know, that potentially becomes available, because I think you got, if you're insistent on leaving Mish Powell as your nickel, if that's where you want him to be, then I think you need to go out and get another safety, because then you didn't necessarily address your safety situation in the portal, because you went and got one in Savion Riley. And if Mish Powell is your nickel, which is potentially fine, then I think you need to go out and make sure that you go get another potential safety. I mean, you got a guy like Jaden Harris, who, you know, played you know, a role at times, especially when Cam Kitchens was injured a year ago. You got some other young guys like, you know, Markeith Williams, who's still kind of coming up, not sure where he's kind of at. Zaquan Patterson, I'm not sure how fair it's totally going to be to ask him to be a key factor in that safety, you know, that safety room so early. And again,
I would put Zaquan at nickel and Mish back at safety, but that's just me.
I'm just wondering how much we saw, you know, again, three practices last week.
Right.
Obviously, they go off on spring break. I'm curious how much they kind of reshuffle the deck and see how what they like, if they play around with that secondary a little bit, because it seems like that's an option that makes sense. I feel like that's kind of like what Zaquan played at the high school level, right? Like, he was kind of a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. At one point, I think we had him listed as a linebacker, right? Like, you know, because he played kind of like an in the box safety type of role. And you know, I think Zaquan Patterson is someone who could absolutely kind of be that kind of, you know, almost like box safety nickel type of guy, because I think that's kind of how he's built. That's kind of what he's been comfortable doing. So, you know, playing Zaquan Patterson at the nickel, I think, is something that I hope Miami does experiment with. I think it's something that would make sense, and you can move Mish Powell back, you know, in to that back seven and see what he kind of does, you know, just in that free safety spot. So, I don't know. I hope that they kind of toy with it a little bit and play around with it, because when it seemed to me that they were, I don't know, maybe that's just the vibe I got, David. I don't know if that's like fair. You know, that it seemed to me that they were kind of like Mish Powell was playing everywhere, but mostly in the nickel. And I think when we watch those one on ones, it seems like Mish Powell's primarily getting work against the slot receivers.
Yes, which he mainly played at Washington, to be fair. So
yeah.
But yeah, I hope they give different looks as well, just to see what they got.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, let's quicken up the pace here for these final few questions. XR Canes asks, with the pads coming on after spring break, what matchups and position battles are you interested in seeing and why?
Yeah, for me, again, just for the sake of time, you know, I definitely am curious to see Marley Cook and CJ Clark in pads. You know, they've been running with that second team defensive line. I want to see how those guys kind of move around once the pads are popping. We've seen a lot of the other guys in the defensive line room that are returning. Those two, I'm definitely curious to see a little bit more. And then, you know, again, how they continue to kind of rotate that left guard position now with the pads on. Obviously, you know, there's been plenty of pushback maybe by the fan base, you know, from what we see only during the media viewing session, because that's all that's available to us. You know, we see a lot of Lou Cristobal in that left guard spot. I'm curious when the pads are on, if they, you know, how they continue to kind of rotate that left guard spot and who kind of gets some reps there, whether that be Samson Okunlola or Tommy Kinsler or Matthew McCoy. I want to see some of that stuff.
I'll go with running back just because I want to learn how Trevante Citizen looks when the pads come on. I don't know, like the little bit we get to see, right? They're just kind of doing running back drills, Gabby. But to me, it looks like he's out there moving fine. I don't know. I can't see anything that looks like off with how he's moving out there. Now, he does have a big knee brace on.
Huge knee brace.
But the question with him is how's it going to look when the pads come on and there's some physicality happening in the practices. Also, I've heard good things about Chris Johnson and Chris Wheatley Humphrey, you know, some of the speedsters, but you know, what do they look like when the pads come on? You know, those
very
guys,
different.
Yeah, those guys should be dominant when it's touch football. How does it translate to when tackling's happening and full pads come on? And then as we've talked about earlier, the secondary, you know, are receivers getting open as easily with the pads on as they were in week one? So to me, those are some of the things to keep an eye on when the pads come on. Kane Cowboys asks, can you give your best guess on the starting five offensive line and starting four defensive line for game one against Florida?
Yeah, I'll go my starting five offensive line. I'll go Jalen left to right, Jalen Rivers left tackle, Tommy Kinsler left guard, Zach Carpenter center, Inez Cooper right guard, Francis Mowat Noah. right tackle. On the defensive line,
hold
I'm
on,
gonna
hold
go.
On, hold on.
Yeah, go. Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you why. I agree with you. Like, I would like to see personally Tommy Kinsler at left guard in game one.
Yeah.
Why did you put him there?
I just feel like he has, you know, a lot of athletic upside. I think he's a big body. I'm just most intrigued by what he could potentially be. And he's on it. We're not even watching him really rep at left guard. Again, just from what we're able to see, we're seeing some other
he's
guys.
Second team left tackle, correct?
Second team left tackle. And then they moved him. I think they flipped day three. They flipped the tackle. So they moved him to right tackle, Markell Bell at left tackle. I just think he's one of those guys that I think he has position versatility. Like, I think he can be a tackle, but I also think he can kick inside at guard. You know, they talk about his athleticism, the way that he can kind of move. I think that's something that could be valuable, especially, you know, in the run game, you know, as a left guard next to another kind of versatile guy like Jalen Rivers. I think that Tommy Kinsler could be a really good complement to what this room has, to the offensive line. And I think that size and athleticism combination, I think ultimately is going to, it's about finding the best five, right? I know you talk about that a lot. Find the best five. And I think if we're finding the best five, you know, I think there's obviously an argument for Samson and Lola, you know, but I think Tommy Kinsler is more maybe developed physically at this point of his career, of just, you know, that lower half especially. And you know, I think Tommy Kinsler is someone that could potentially win out there, just a guess on my end.
I personally like your five. That's what I would want to see. If I'm predicting what they do, I would predict they put Samson at left guard. That's just me predicting what they would do, just to you know, it's time to get him in there. And I understand the need to get him in there, why you would do that. But I think Kinsler is probably more of a guard. He's bigger, more powerful. So we'll see. I think it's going to be interesting. Okay, D-line. I bet we're the same, but let's see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're not. I got Reuben Bain, Marley Cook, CJ Clark. I went Elijah Alston, and I feel like that's maybe might be different. I don't know. I feel like Elijah Alston has a, I think he might have a shot. And and the reason why I went Elijah Alston is because I don't know if they would start. I don't know if you might have Nigelique there, but I wasn't sure if they would start Bain and Mesidor, but maybe Nigelique is that guy. I just kind of threw Elijah Alston out there.
Yeah. I took it as like the four best. I just went with the four best figure it out. I mean, you could be right. They might go with a, you know,
I figured they put like one of the, you know, Reuben Bain Mesidor types, and on the other side they'll do a Nigelie Kelly, Elijah Alston. So that's why I was that's the reason why I kind of, because I do think Bain and Mesidor are the two best, and I think they could do that. But I think just body type wise, I was wondering if they would kind of keep those guys like Bain and Mesidor on that one side, and then Alston and Nigelie Kelly on the other side. So I don't know, maybe just throwing it out there. But I do think obviously Mesidor and Bain would be, you know, I think those are the two best defensive ends that they have.
I went Bain, Harrison Hunt, Clark, Mesidor.
Yeah.
So a little different. You know, look, I think there's lots of different combinations they could go with. You know, bottom line, Bain's going to be one of the best defensive linemen in the country.
Yeah.
You know, Harrison Hunt to me is ascending. I think he has that intriguing mix of length and athleticism.
Yeah.
You just got to, kind of similar to Wesley Bissaint, you got to like bring it every game. Can't have those quiet games. Clark is what a nose tackle should look like. And to me, Mesidor is just a guy that can wreak havoc when healthy. So, you know, again, you could rotate Bain and Mesidor to play more snaps than Elijah Alston and Nigelie Kelly. You can find ways to do that. But I just kept it simple for my starting four and just went with what I think is the four best that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think I would probably go, Harrison Hunt over Cook probably makes more sense.
Meet Jerry Ashcraft, your trusted realtor in the heart of Central Florida. Jerry, a Marine Corps veteran turned real estate expert with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Florida Realty, is here to serve you. With years of dedicated service to our country, Jerry brings the same commitment, integrity, and attention to detail to every real estate transaction. As a VA loan certified realtor, Jerry understands the unique needs of fellow veterans and their families. Whether you're a veteran looking to use your VA benefits or a first-time homebuyer searching for your perfect place, Jerry has got you covered. When Jerry isn't helping clients find their dream homes, you'll often find him casting a line and enjoying Florida's beautiful waterways. With every successful transaction, Jerry pays it forward, by either making a donation to the Miami Hurricanes Athletic Department or to a charity of your choice, because he believes in making a difference both in real estate and in the community. When it comes to real estate in Central Florida, trust Jerry to guide you home. Let's turn your real estate dreams into reality. Contact Jerry today and get started. Call him at 407-358-4743 or email at jerry.ashcraft@bhhsfloridarealty.net. Are you a self-employed professional? Did you file a Schedule SE with your taxes? Have you heard about the self-employed tax credit, or are you unsure about everything that comes with it? What is self-employed tax credit? Self-employed tax credit provides financial relief to self-employed individuals affected by COVID-19. It covers specific periods during the pandemic and offers refundable credits based on qualified sick and family leave equivalents. You can apply for these credits retroactively. Discover self-employed tax credit with BeOptimized. They specialize in self-employed tax credit filing support and are ready and willing to assist your needs or questions. Things that make you eligible. You are eligible if you missed work during the pandemic due to quarantine, COVID-19 lockdown orders, vaccination-related absences, childcare challenges, illness, including COVID-19 symptoms or vaccination side effects, or caring for someone with COVID symptoms. Maximize your credits. Understanding the self-employed tax credit intricacies is crucial. BeOptimized will ensure you claim the maximum credits you're entitled to the right way. Get started today. Don't let uncertainty affect your financial opportunities. Call BeOptimized at 1-888-979-0019. That's 1-888-979-0019. SC Kane 34. This is an interesting one. If Cam Ward's stat line for Miami is 3,700 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions, what do you think the record would be for Miami? That also would put Cam as the single season record holder for yards and touchdowns at Miami. His previous stat line at Washington State was 3,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions for reference.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when you go back and like what we were talking about in the beginning, it's just like he had all those numbers and then Washington State went 5-7. But I mean, I think just realistically, if those are the numbers he puts up at Miami, I think that Miami had an extremely successful offensive year. Yes. So I think that if we're talking that Cam Ward, potentially breaks the single season passing record, single season passing touchdown record, for Miami, I think we're talking about, Miami is either a 10-win team or potentially competing for a spot in the ACC title game. Like, I think that would be a mission accomplished as far as what Miami could potentially get out of their quarterback room. I mean, it'd be one of the best years a Miami quarterback has had here potentially ever. Obviously, I think Miami would be a very, very good team if those are the numbers that Cam Ward's putting up.
Yeah, I think, look, if those, let me just say on the front end, if those stats happen, Miami's winning 10 plus games. But I am skeptical those numbers can be achieved in a 12 game regular season. And here's why. When you dig into the numbers, Washington State threw the ball on 63% of their offensive snaps, which ranked as the third highest in the country last year, trailing only Hawaii and Temple from a percentage standpoint. And Miami's run to pass ratio was right down the middle at 50.7% to the pass. So Cam Ward averaged 40 passing attempts per game in 2023 at Washington State. I went back and looked. You know, it's hard to judge by the Tyler Van Dyke numbers because he was dealing with injuries the last two seasons. But I went back and looked at Oregon in 2019. With Justin Herbert there, they went 12-2, won the Rose Bowl. that Oregon team, Justin Herbert attempted 30.5 passes per game. And look, I do think it's worth noting that the only team that ranked inside of the top 25 of passing percentage, you know, relative to offensive snaps that won at a high level was Washington, who ranked ninth in the country and threw it on 58.8% of their offensive snaps. So all that is to say, look, I think what Miami's going to do is be more balanced than what Cam Ward was at Washington State and their offense there. And so that's going to lead to less attempts, and that's going to lead to fewer opportunities, of course, to get that yardage and touchdown numbers, et cetera. But what I would personally like to see is Miami to lean into the strength of its personnel. I do think Cam Ward and the receivers, the pass catchers, is the strength in comparison to the run game. And I would like to see Miami live in that 53-52% pass range, especially if they go out and land a portal receiver. You have a big-time quarterback, let him cook. So I have a hard time seeing those stats, just knowing how much more balanced Miami's going to be compared to what Washington State was last year. But again, if they do go out, if Cam Ward has those type of stats, that means, you know, Miami is also running the ball at will and having a lot of success in that phase as well, and putting up huge monster numbers offensively. All right, next question comes from DCologne7. What is the current feel with the recruits that took visits to the spring practices? Were all the reviews from them positive? So there's a lot of big-time recruits, Gabby. Yeah. You don't have to touch on them all, but what were the vibes that you picked up on from these guys that visited Miami spring practices?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it seems like, you know, especially with some of the big time guys, you know, five star. I mean, on Friday alone, Miami hosted, you know, two guys that are in five star range. I mean, the number one defensive lineman in the country, Elijah Griffin, Elias Williams, the number one tight end in the country. And I think, you know, just talking to both of those guys, it just feels like Miami's kind of in the game. You know, similar to what we've come, I mean, I feel like it's kind of par for the course these days in the Mario Cristobal recruiting operation. Like, Miami is going to get these big time guys on campus, and when they get them on campus, they're gonna, you know, strike all the right chords and be able to kind of make an impression, right? Like, before Elijah Griffin even walks out of the building, tweeting out 10 of 10 visit at the University of Miami, you know, just stuff like that, where Miami's going to put themselves in position to be competitive in all of these recruitments. And, you know, again, just to use Elijah Griffin, again, number one defensive lineman in the country from Savannah. A lot of people kind of think it's Georgia's recruitment to lose with Clemson kind of in there. You know, he kind of walks out of Miami saying, like, yeah, Miami's going to continue to be one of my top schools. You know, basically said he's going to come back for an official visit and he's going to continue to consider Miami extremely highly. Like, these are just the types of things that Miami's able to do during these spring visits, is just get guys around the program. You know, watch them practice, watch them compete. Obviously, it's, you know, high intensity practices, and you know, they do an excellent job of building these relationships and getting guys excited about you know, what Miami could be, the direction the program's going in, and all that stuff. You know, Elias Williams, the Georgia commit, again, number one ranked tight end in the country. He walks out of his visit at Miami, and you know, kind of heard right after that he plans on being back for the spring game, you know, so Miami's going to be able to, you know, turn around and get him back on campus in April after hosting for the first time. You know, so you know, Miami's going to, again, with all these top recruits, Jabari Antoine, the, you know, a top 247 LSU commit, cornerback that Miami's been, you know, chopping away at for a long time. I mean, Miami, you know, again, picks up some ground in a recruitment that they kind of missed out on earlier, but, you know, find a way to get the LSU commit on campus on Monday. They waste no time. They kind of hit the ground running. And again, all the feedback I'm getting is, you know, these guys are loving Miami. And, you know, as the spring continues, they're going to keep getting big time guys on campus. And I expect, you know, those visits to go well, because Miami is extremely intentional, and they've gotten really, really good at having these guys feel like Miami's a place that they could legitimately further their athletic and, you know, academic careers.
Yeah, talent acquisition not going to be an issue.
Definitely
under
not
the Mario
be an issue.
Cristobal regime. Just learn the names, ride the waves, And just know that at the end of the day, the staff's going to figure it out. There's going to be plenty of misses because you're fishing in a different pond than you have been, you know, in past years where, you know, it's easy catching. This is real big time recruiting, and you're going to have some misses. But at the end of the day, you're gonna look at the class and feel really good about what is signed at the end of the cycle. Last question. Shirtless Sheriff asks, give us three things that have to happen in order for us to make the ACC championship game rather than get in the weed. So this is me. Rather than get in the weeds, because there's a lot of ways to answer this question, I will answer this in kind of a big picture sense, because, you know, we're essentially kind of talking about navigating a season. So to me, Gabby, one of the big areas of improvement that Miami should be focused on this year, you know, particularly on offense, is limiting turnovers. And, you know, I think it's easy to look at and point to how last year Miami was essentially a top 40 offense and a top 40 defense. And all the other teams, there was like something like 19 teams that were also top 40 on both sides of the ball. I think the number was something like 15 or 16 of those teams won at least 9 games last season. So the thing that sunk Miami last year was the turnovers. They were untimely turnovers. They were brutal with where they happened on the field. And so those need to be cleaned up. I think Miami finished in the hundreds in turnovers lost last year. So that needs to get cleaned up. If it does, that alone is going to boost Miami's offensive output in a pretty big way year over year. The other thing, I mean, this is cliche, but it's very true. It's still true as Miami's looking to build its depth. You got to stay healthy. I think the starters are good. The starting 22 are good, but the depth is still not quite there to me in some position groups. Must avoid injuries at quarterback. I think you got to avoid injuries at center and the secondary as well. And then the last thing I'll say, and I know this has nothing to do with making the ACC championship game because it's not a conference game, but in terms of like setting the tone for a season, I think Miami has to go and beat Florida in the swamp in game one. The confidence that comes from that would be huge. You know, you look to over the past decade plus, this program has not really recovered well from losing a premier week one game. You look at Alabama, lost against Alabama in 2021, Miami went 7-5. Lost to Florida in 2019, 6-7 season. Lost to LSU in 2018, 7-6 season. Lost to Louisville in 2014, 6-7 season. They did beat Boston College, if you want to call that a premier game. I don't know. It's a Power Five game. They did beat Boston College in 2012. They went 7-5. They lost to Maryland in 2011. They went 6-6. Miami beat Florida State in 2009 to open the season, and they went 9-4 that year. So to me, it's just a big picture thing of like handling this game on somewhat of a big stage, gain confidence, and let that roll downhill. You know, this is going to be the toughest road environment that Miami faces. And a lot can be taken from winning a game like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of great points there. I think though, just especially opening with Florida and winning that game, it just sets the tone for everything else. And I think it just puts you in position to kind of get the ball rolling downhill early on, where you're kind of building confidence, you build momentum into, again, what we've talked about as a very manageable schedule. Three things, again, I'm not going to really go into it, of just like three things that need to happen. I think David did a good job of covering that. I think just from a roster construction standpoint, you know, I think three things that need to happen to this roster in order to make this a potential ACC championship game an ACC championship appearing roster. I think first Miami needs to go out and add a big time outside wide receiver. I think that's one of those things that Miami has to do. They need to get Cam Ward, a legit weapon on the outside, someone that could be that a potential wide receiver one. I think that's one of those crucial things that Miami needs to try to find a way to do ahead of the ahead of the opener against Florida. I think Miami needs to add cornerback depth. I don't think you can manage this season. You talk about staying healthy, about even we're talking about creating turnovers and that turnover. Like you need guys at cornerback who can make plays. I think you need a potential difference maker, a guy who could potentially start at the cornerback spot, at least one. Well, we talked about potentially two, at least one it feels like they need to go get. And honestly, I mean, I think there's a lot of different places we can go with the third. I think safety is definitely, going out and getting another starting safety. But honestly, I think if we want to again maximize what this offense could be, I think even going out and getting a potential stud running back, again, what does that look like? I don't even know if it's like a total stud, but again, a guy who could potentially be a starting running back here. Mark Fletcher is coming off an injury. We don't know. Again, we expect him back, but we don't know exactly what that looks like. And again, if we're another potential Mark Fletcher injury away from, again, just being in a tight spot that you don't want to be in. So I think Miami's open to the idea of going out and getting a running back if they have to in the transfer portal. And I think if they go out and get a potential difference maker at running back, I think it could help this offense. Really, really hum of just, we talk about balance and establishing that run game and also having that potent passing attack with Cam Ward and a potential big time outside wide receiver. Those are three moves. Those are probably the first three moves that I would make if I'm talking about Miami, potentially making it to the ACC championship game.
All right. So we'll get out of here on that. Again, wanted to bring kind of a spring break edition here of the podcast. Apologize if the audio sounds off. I'm recording this away from my home, so apologies if it sounds weird, but just wanted to get this out. Appreciate everyone for listening. We will be back at it next week when spring football picks up again next Tuesday. So until then, take care. We'll be right back.